What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
What the fuck indeed, Charlie? For those of you who don't listen to everything that Charlie and I do together project-wise...
First of all, good for you.
For what?
For not listening to everything, because you'd be a psychotic asshole if you did that.
Well, there's that. We're recording this the same night we just watched this movie on Live Nude Geeks, and all I can say is, Charlie and I have made a pact. Jowski never gets to pick the movie again, right?
Never again, and we have to get him into some kind of a program. I think he has a problem.
Considering the movie, I know he has a problem.
Yeah.
So that's why Charlie and I are a little bit in that kind of that post-traumatic shock and awe right now.
You know that feeling you get in the gift shop at a Holocaust museum? That's the way we're feeling right now.
And that's actually not a bad analogy considering the movie we just watched where a guy jerked off onto photos of Jews at the concentration camps.
Jesus, that was a fucked up movie.
Let's talk about this show a little bit. As you can hear...
Yes, let's talk about anything else in the world.
As you can hear, Charlie the Fister McMullen is back. Jillian and I tried to record, but we ran into a bunch of technical issues I'm not going to go into. By the time they got fixed, she was unable to make it for this week. So, Fister, I'm just going to... Let's just get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Charlie, just read it to us and read it straight. We'll discuss it afterwards.
I'm going to try to read it straight. It's very short because nothing else could be written about this. It's four lines, but it says it all. This comes out of Tulsa. Tulsa police say a woman came home to find her husband dead in the garage with his hands and feet bound and decapitated. Police surrounded the home near 45th and Sheridan looking for answers. They believe the death may have been a suicide.
I'm going to ask you right now, do you really know somebody that can bind their hands and feet, decapitate themselves as a way to kill themselves?
I admire that level of dedication. I mean, he's if it is a suicide, he obviously put a lot of thought and effort into it.
Hey, he was ahead of the game. Yeah, I just did that.
He is making social bounds hand over feet.
So I mean, what this most likely is they meant homicide, and it's literally a typo, or they did a wrong word replace when they uploaded this to their website, the fox23.com website. That's most likely what it is.
That is a huge typo, though.
It's a really good one, yeah.
I mean, this is something that Jay Leno would talk about on The Tonight Show if he wasn't such a pansy.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons Jay Leno's a pansy, but I agree with that. But I can tell you back from when I worked in the news, whenever there was something where you were unsure of the outcome and you knew you were going to have breaking news, like a presidential election or even a local election or the verdict in a high profile murder case or something, we would always write two stories, one for guilty, one for not guilty, one for Bush winning, one for Gore winning, things like that. And every now and then those accidentally would get posted to the website.
All the way, like going back to Thomas Dewey and Harry Truman.
Yeah, kind of, you know, I can't remember what paper it was, but calls it by a landslide. Oh, yeah, totally wrong.
Oops.
So it could be one of these that it was like just somebody was not paying attention. But at the time we're recording this, it still says suicide.
Right. If it is a typo, it has not been corrected yet. And I'm going, like you, I'm going to assume that this is a typo because I have to sleep at night.
When I sent Charlie this story, 5 minutes later, he just sends me back... Suicide? With a bunch of exclamations and question marks. And
I'm like, I don't usually use that much punctuation, but I felt it was appropriate.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't even need to explain this one. You clearly got why we're talking about this.
This did remind me of something, though. A couple of weeks ago, right before a karaoke show here in Pueblo, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he had read this thing that he found on the internet about a police force in somewhere in California. It's one of the smaller desert towns. I want to say Bakersfield. And I'm going to say Bakersfield, because if I'm wrong, then fuck it. It's Bakersfield. They can't do anything.
You know what? Fuck Bakersfield. Let's just say Bakersfield.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck it within an inch of its Bakersfield-y life. But the police force in Bakersfield has an IQ test that they give to every recruit that joins the academy. The highest possible score on this particular test is a 30, and they will not accept recruits that score higher than a 26. Meaning, in black and white, not even trying to lie about it, they don't want the police to be too smart.
In black and white, I see what you did there.
Ah, yes. I just couldn't believe that, though. I mean, cops... That my dad was a cop for almost 30 years. It is such a high-pressure job. You can't let anybody do that job. And it just makes me sick that there
that's what they're doing. They're just letting anybody do that job.
I know. Like, it spells out that police work can be so crooked that they're moving closer and closer to the military. They're wanting people that do not think for themselves.
Well, I mean, it even comes down to that story of that Florida teen, that 13-year-old who the cops jumped him, beat him down, and arrested him because he looked at them in an aggravated manner.
Right.
You know, because now how you look at a cop means they can jump your ass and beat your ass.
Say that something like that is like a, you know, our usual brand of liberal bullshit. But it's impossible not to think that, given shit that's happening. I mean, not wanting the cops to be too smart. I mean, Bakersfield, still assuming it's Bakersfield, even though I'm starting to feel bad because it might not be. But that's the kind of police force that would jump at the chance to recruit George Zimmerman. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. You know, because I think there are a certain type of person who becomes a police officer. There's a certain personality type. And those tend to be people who like to have authority over other people.
Highly aggressive, unfocused rage.
I'm just going to come out and say it. Bullies. People who are social bullies are the kind of people that want to be cops.
That's exactly how my dad felt. Do you know what he did so that he could retire early? He went 3 years without a sick day. So he can build him up and technically retire early.
Because he just, I mean, was it just, did he see that kind of thug mentality that's been going through the police department in America?
There was the thug mentality. There was the sweep it under the rug mentality of his superiors. Just everything
you
bad.
Don't cross the blue wall kind of shit.
Exactly. Everything bad that you've heard about police work is true. And even cops can feel the fucking sting. You know what I mean?
And I think that's what the problem is. Like with this, it's thought to be a suicide. I really wouldn't put it past that one of the cops showed up and said, "Wow, this guy must have killed himself."
Yeah, it's been up there for 5 hours.
If it was a typo, someone had to have noticed it. Well, let's move away from that and into our first real topic, which is technically two topics combined, but they're tangentially related.
Nice.
And they taint each other.
They taint the hell out of each other.
The first one is a leading neurologist at the University of Oxford has come out and said religious fundamentalism will soon be able to be declared as a mental illness and they will try to cure it. Obviously, religious people didn't like this very much.
As I interpreted the story as I was reading it, what the neurologist was saying is that she's not talking about religious fanaticism, more like the Patty Hearst Stockholm Syndrome cult kind of thing. That's what she was saying, like, out loud. But I think, reading between the lines, anything, like, because she mentioned a lot of beliefs that people have that do harm to society. Like, because of religion, there's a lot of people out there who believe that it's okay to beat your children. They believe it's okay to beat your spouse if one of a billion arbitrary religious superstitions happens.
It even comes down to, yeah, I'm going to say it, like Islam. Oh, your daughter was raped? Well, she didn't fight hard enough. We need to kill her.
But first, we need to cut off her clitoris.
Yeah, it's, I'm sorry. That is, I've been saying it for years. Faith is a mental illness. You believe in something just because you want to believe in it. I've made this joke before, Charlie. Why, if you believe in unicorns, if you believe in goblins, if you believe in UFOs, if you believe
angels.
If you believe in angels, if you believe in demon possession, you go to fucking a fucking mental home. If you believe in an all-powerful being that created the universe in his own image, but gave man free will, and he will punish you if you don't follow his arbitrary rules, and he will reward you if you do, why is that considered tax exempt? But believing in aliens probing Uranus is cause to be thrown into a mental home.
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to point out probing Uranus, nice.
Secondly, it was kind of a double entendre there.
Yes, I enjoy that immensely. But secondly, the line between religious zealotry and mental illness is really, really hazy. And anyone who doubts that needs to look at, like, the Westboro Baptist Church, like Fred Phelps.
There's no way those guys are not insane.
You can't tell me he does not have mental deficiencies. It's just, God, you have to take a gigantic leap of insanity to truly believe that God wants you to hurt people that he doesn't like, and to go out and do it with such a fucking, just a flourish of batshit bonkers insanity. I don't think it's that big of a leap to call religious zealotry mental illness. It makes sense.
Slavery, that was decreed by God, remember? It's in the Bible, so God said black people are not human. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember that fucking rationalization?
Yes, remember when Dred Scott, a human being, was defending himself in court and he lost, and the verdict that he received after defending himself was that he is not a person?
Yeah, I'm sorry, religion makes you crazy. And I don't think that it is really untoward to think that it is a mental illness and for it to be classified as such. I mean, in the ultimate of ironies, okay, religious people hate homosexuality, right?
Right.
Religious people categorized homosexuality as a mental illness until the 1980s that was finally physically removed from the mental illness textbooks?
Right. It was shortly after that HBO movie with Alan Alda. What was it?
Homosexuality was considered a mental illness. And yes, I'm kind of being flippant here, yet pedophilia in the Catholic Church, that's not, apparently, that's the kind of thing you cover up. That's the kind of thing you engender by just moving the priests around and not telling anybody.
Hey, if the Pope says it's okay.
The new Pope might not. He's actually pissing a lot of Catholics off, which kind of makes me happy a little bit.
I just love that in my lifetime I have like a badass renegade Pope.
Yeah, he's actually kind of literally and figuratively coming down to earth.
I like that, because, I mean, Pope Benedict, he retired in his prime, at least. He's like the Michael Jordan of pedophile enablers.
He retired because they were issuing arrest warrants for him in foreign countries. That's
right.
Not exactly retiring in your prime.
Yeah, it's closer to, like, Roman Polanski, I guess.
Yeah. Well, but then you've also got, okay, you have that inherent hatred from, like, the Westboro Baptist Church we talked about. Then you've got the Tea Party activist and conspiracy theorist Jerome Corsi that came out this week.
A real charmer, by the way.
Yeah, that thinks being okay with homosexuality will, quote, lead to bestiality, pedophilia, and snuff films becoming legal. All right, first of all, on a technical level, bestiality is legal in quite a few states. I think it's only illegal in about half the country. So sadly enough, it already is legal, really. But
Oh, that reminds me. I got to go to the store to get more peanut butter.
That's true. Especially after the movie we watched. A dog killed a woman by eating her out. It was just, yeah. He actually tries to cloak his hatred of gays by saying it is not right to hate someone because they're black. It's not right to hate someone because they're a woman. It's not right to hate someone because they're Asian.
Because of eye color.
Yeah, but these gay people, they just take it too far. Gay is against God. He actually says that at one point. Gay is against God.
Sex should be reserved only for the act of procreation, which is a very responsible thing to say in such a fucking overpopulated world. So these fuckers have never had sex just for the enjoyment of it.
I'm going to quote here, Charlie. Sex is given to human beings by God as a sacred act for the procreation of children. If sex becomes disassociated from a biblical purpose, then all the abuses we saw in paganism are about to return.
Which I believe was, let's see, they mentioned it in Dragnet.
Isn't paganism the actual birth of Catholicism? So what you're saying is you don't want to go back to the religious precepts that you are using to justify not going back to the religious precepts.
That's true. Before
did I get that right?
I think you did. Before all this bullshit with chocolate eggs and bunnies, Easter, a bunch of pagans that would soon become Catholics got together and pray for bountiful crops and danced naked around a fire and fucked each other.
Well, just last year, Corsi outright said Barack Obama is secretly gay and that he was a staple at the Chicago bathhouse scene. This guy's not stable. And I'm not saying it's to tie it back to the mental illness. I'm not necessarily saying he's insane because he's religious. I'm saying he's insane and he's religious, and that's a dangerous fucking combo, isn't it?
It's horribly dangerous. And I'm not even saying he's insane. I'm saying he is evil. And people like him are evil. People who use God as an excuse to hurt other people, to hate against other people, encourage the murder of other people. It is just fucking evil. There is no argument against gay rights. There is no argument against same-sex marriage that is not steeped in pseudo-religious fucking fear-mongering. It is bullshit. These people are trying to just harness all the fear of moronic, blindly following sheep Americans that take all this bullshit seriously, and they're just using God as an excuse to hate. And I don't know where it comes from. I mean, gay marriage, unless you are a gay person who wants to get married, that issue does not affect you at all.
No, it doesn't.
All the stupid rhetoric and all the bullshit speeches you've heard against gay marriage are completely pointless. It is all steeped in hate pretending to be religious.
And Charlie, they also like to make those giant leaps in, I guess the only word I can use is logic and quotes. Okay, gay marriage, that leads to snuff films?
Jesus Christ.
Isn't every purported snuff film that the FBI has ever investigated, and yes, sadly enough for an article I once looked into this, they were all men killing women? So how do you even go from gay marriage to snuff films?
Yes. Now, I would like it to be known that I've never seen a snuff film, but I think it's more likely that I'll see a man killing a woman, given, you know, what and who men are, than it is that I'll see a gay snuff film. I mean, gay means happy. When was the last time you saw a miserable gay guy? And I will always support gay marriage because I think it's great that someone now has a chance of marrying somebody that they would at least have something in common with. I mean, if it weren't for the cock, I would be gay in a heartbeat.
Well, and it even boils down to the fact that it literally is an equal rights issue. It comes down to, they should be able to make decisions, you know, end of life decisions for their partner, financial decisions, medical decisions, the same thing that a straight couple has.
Tax benefits.
Yes. Why is it if two guys do it or two girls do it, that's evil and will destroy the entire fabric of society?
See, it's people like this fuckface that he's the reason why there are atheists in the world. Atheists are not born. Unlike homosexuality, atheism is a choice.
It's the right choice.
It's the only choice that makes sense when you have fuckers like this using God as an excuse to just spread hate for reasons that only he will ever understand.
But really, and this does happen more, I mean, everyone jokes about it, but it does happen quite a few times. The people who are the most vocal, the most anti-homosexual, how many of them get caught with the pool boy a year later?
Ted Haggard.
He's just one of them. How many senators and religious leaders?
Larry Craig.
I'm sorry. If you hate gays that much, I'm going to say it. You're secretly fucking gay.
Yeah.
You are looking for a reason to not accept it.
Michelle Bachmann's husband. Let's be real.
Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann, for that matter.
Exactly. So what it comes down to is I really do think that faith and belief in God is a mental illness. And I think both legally and morally it is. There's no other way to categorize it. There isn't.
It's making a really strong case. I mean, to truly believe that someone who is different from you is less than a person is fucking insane and should be treated as such.
But there's also the argument on the mental illness side that so you don't believe in things you can see, such as science, things that can be proven, things that we know exist, but you'd rather just believe that it was done by the will of an omnipotent supreme being. That, to me, almost would be the definition of insanity, wouldn't it? Believing something you can't prove in the face of something you can.
Right. People who claim that God speaks to them. That sounds a lot like schizophrenia.
Yeah, and he's not joking. The dictionary definition of schizophrenia is just that. So I really do think these people that have visions, and you know what, Charlie, I am not talking about Christians. I'm talking about all religions, Indian religion. I'm talking about Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, all this stuff. It's all a mental illness. So I am not trying to single Christians out here.
And we're also not completely just shitting on all aspects of religion. I understand why religion is around. I understand why people need it. Some people find comfort and they, you know, following the example of religion, the good stuff in the Bible, not like fucking revelations and all shit like that, but like the miracles and everything like that, they're learning from Jesus, living a better life, treating, you know, being kind to their fellow man. That's fine. And I understand that. And sometimes I'm even envious of it. But there is just so much more just hate-filled fucking screaming fire and brimstone. You're different from me, so I'm going to fucking kill you because I think it would please my God. That has to stop. And it's never going to stop. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's ever going to stop. I don't think Fred Phelps is ever going to wake up one day and say, well, they ain't so bad. I don't think Jerome fucking Teabagger is going to wake up one day and say, well, you know what? I was wrong. Maybe if you're gay, you won't do snuff films and pedophilia, which, you know, is primarily a religious thing in itself, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a Catholic thing in and of itself. You know, when the Bible said Jesus, have the children come unto me, that's not what he meant.
We the people are still one equal, one nation under God. The middle class, a dream of the past, now has to pack a gun. Living beyond all means, red just rings off credit overdrawn. The high price of freedom for the rich and illegal, where's our future coming from? Oh God, what the hell are you showing me? I'm just a victim branded by society. You're never gonna get what you want from me. Dying in a land of opportunity, we never have a say in anything. Don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. Living fear of things that we saw. Now freedom, justice, and the law. An honest man has no chance in the eyes of the law. The woman is evil, abortion is legal, it's sex and Santa Claus. We're so pathetic, some expect for get away. Where's our future coming from? We're all just slaves the American way. Where's our future coming from? Oh God, what the hell you showing me? I'm living out of my brain with a society. You're never gonna get what you want from me. Dying in our land of opportunity. We never have a say in anything. Don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. Gonna live in life that we saw. No freedom, justice, and the law.
All right, guys, I'm Hart D. Fisher. You are listening to the Heart Attack segment of What the Fuck. And if you did not know, there's a full one-hour Heart Attack now, right, Josh?
It's actually on before this, so if you're listening live, you already heard it.
Yeah, well, you know, people tune in at different times. And I was talking to a creator, a movie creator, who was a fan of this, who he came to me because of What the Fuck and because of his interest in you, Josh. And I liked his shit, so I want to put it on American Horrors. And we were talking, and he didn't even fucking know we had a one-hour Heart Attack. So I just wanted to get that out there to all you guys. If you didn't know, there's a one-hour Heart Attack. It is with me and Josh. If you want to look for the archives, we're on iTunes now, guys. Heart Attack is now on iTunes, and Heart Attack is up to be subscribed. And you could also find archives at 1201beyond.com. That's 1201beyond.com. We talk about so much fucked up shit that is going on in the world on our the Heart Attack show. I mean, dudes at home, you need to hear the one-hour Heart Attack because we have been covering a lot of fucked up, crazy shit. And it A lot of it's me ranting, but, you know, Josh gets in there and he gets to have his licks too. So for all those people who complain that, you know, oh, Hart and Josh on Heart Attack, that's just too much testosterone. Well, suck on that cock, motherfucker, and choke on it, because it's an hour! We just got done recording our 7th episode. I'm having a great time, man. I really am. And, Josh, you just sent me an article about wearing a mask at a riot is now a crime in Canada?
Yeah, and no, technically a riot is a crime in Canada, so that's kind of iffy in that regard. But then there's also the fact that just wearing a mask, like, say you are aware that a protest or something could become a riot. You want to bring a gas mask with you in case it does, so you don't get gassed. Well, you just violated the law.
Dude, not only that, but you could get a 10-year prison term, and what's wrong with wearing a mask? Because, like, it's not like you know a riot's about to happen. And
those things aren't usually scheduled, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So, during a riot or unlawful assembly, well, they're passing a lot of laws in Canada and America that your regular person doesn't know about. And we, on the full hour of Heart Attack, we talked about the Supreme Court and how, because of a Texas case, they have ruled if you decide to use your right to remain silent, then the lawyer in the case can say he's guilty because he was quiet. It's really fucked up and crazy. And we also read an article about a woman who was stalked by a police officer who used the NSA surveillance gear that's supposed to only be used against terrorists with a court order. He was using it with his buddies to spy on their wives, their girlfriends, and stalking chicks. So if you thought it was bad when an officer gave you a speeding ticket and had his phone number on it because he thought you were kind of cute, now he's going to use NSA surveillance equipment to really get up in your life. We're facing a lot of fucked up shit here, folks. And this is why I beat the drum of you have to be politically active. You have to get off your goddamn ass. You have to fucking vote. It's disgusting.
You have to stand up for your rights, because if you don't, no one else will. Yes,
no,
there are people like us, but it comes down to, and I know this makes me sound bitter, but why do I have to fight for your rights?
And, you know, it's not just fighting. You know, this isn't about a fight for your rights. We're here. You know, Obama talked about change. Yeah, he changed it to a fucking police state. He took those Bush powers because these NSA wiretapping laws were signed into law by George Bush in 2007. And Obama ran on a campaign promise that he was going to eliminate this kind of shit. And instead, he's turned around and become fucking worse than Bush. You son of a bitch, I voted for you twice, you lying, backstabbing piece of shit. Oh, I'm so disappointed with our president. I thought he had a chance to be a real hero, to really represent what the black race could be, that it wasn't what every white racist said. And what has this guy done? This fucking dildo is acting like every propped up African Idi Amin fucking dictator. What's next? He's going to declare martial law and he's president forever like Putin in Russia?
He saw that. In his mind, I do not subscribe to this at all. He saw, well, this NSA thing does work, so I have no...
It doesn't work. Wait a minute, Josh. Obama says the NSA works. What does it work for? What have they stopped? It didn't stop the marathon bombing in Boston, did it? And Russia warned these assholes about them.
They are trying to claim that they killed Bin Laden because of the NSA wiretaps. That's how they found out Bin Laden's...
Bullshit. Hey, that wasn't in the movie, was it? That wasn't in O Dark 30. Just lots of people getting tortured nonstop.
The 24 model.
Yeah, for real, dude. And you know what? Folks at home, torture is bullshit. The only people who torture are sadists that want to hurt other human beings. When you are trying to extract information out of a suspect, and a skilled interrogator will deliver much more reliable information than any torturer. A torturer is bullshit. He's a sadist. When you got some asshole in a suit trying to tell you why it's so necessary to torture people, that guy's a fucked up motherfucker. And you should be wiretapping that guy. And you should be looking at that guy's private email, because I bet you he's got a cookbook for female flesh in his office.
Also, torture doesn't work. If you're being tortured, you will say anything to make it stop. It doesn't matter if it's true. You can't rely on information got under torture.
Mm-hmm. It's bullshit, man. And I don't even believe they got Osama bin Laden. I don't believe that they got that guy. That's horseshit. One, we all know 9/11 was a goddamn false flag operation. And if you say conspiracy theory, I'm going to ram my elbow down your fucking nose, you lying piece of shit. We already know. No airplane struck the Pentagon. Nothing struck the third building on the site that came down. We all know it's a false flag op. We all know what's happening here. There's a major power grab happening in America. The Fourth Reich is happening right in front of your stupid fucking eyes. While you turn into mob wives, you're getting fucked. You're getting fucked every fucking day. Genetically modified foods. The banks are fucking you up the ass. The people that own your mortgages are fucking you up the ass. The IRS is fucking you up the ass. The NSA is way up your ass. And it's not just the NSA, guys. It's the FBI, your local law enforcement. They have bought scanners so they could scan your cell phone stuff without a warrant. They are abusing their powers left, right, and center. Why? Because they are human beings. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is a human fact. The more power you give these giant corporations and the government that can listen in on anyone, if they decide they've got a problem with you, they're going to go through your call record history of 10 years. They're going to go through every email. And you know what? Anything can be taken out of context. Any tweet now, they're busting people for fucking tweets. What the fuck? We got a real problem here, guys. We got a real problem. And we can still solve it. We can still get up and get involved, because in America, this is a country based on ideals. It is a country based on the pursuit of freedom. And we can still pursue it. It ain't over till the fat lady fucking dies, croaks, and shits her big fat clown panties. So get off your asses, guys, and get active.
All right, Charlie, are you a digital pirate?
I'm not really a digital pirate. I'm actually one of few people in their early 30s that actually buy albums from a record store still.
Have you ever downloaded anything? Have you ever gotten an MP3 or a movie less than legally?
Sure.
Well, I'm a pirate. I mean, hell, I was a big bootlegger in the VHS era in the 90s, so I absolutely am. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit tonight about piracy, and that word's in quotes.
Yeah.
And how piracy, everything is piracy. Almost every innovation that you have now or that you grew up with was considered piracy at one time. It was fought against by the establishment. Do you remember that even printed books were considered piracy at one point because people would transcribe plays into books and sell them?
Yeah, I think the Gutenberg Bible was a big part of that, if I'm not mistaken. There was some controversy there.
Because we got to hold on to what we have now. MP3 players were sued in 1997 because they said it's music piracy. Recordable CDs were sued because it's music piracy. Being able to record a TV show on your VCR was piracy. Remember that?
Right. Remember hooking up two VCRs and copying everything you rent from Blockbuster?
Absolutely. And then, of course, they had copy protection. But I mean,
Scotch tape.
Well, it comes down to, from our lifetime, is the Sony Betamax decision from 1984. That was basically between about 1981, when the VCR became, and the word is in quotes again, affordable. If $2,000 in 1981 dollars is considered affordable.
God, we were fucking retarded as a society, weren't we?
Yes. But the VCR became affordable and started making its way into American homes. The Sony model had a record button, and you could buy blank tapes for about $25 to $30 in 1981 dollars again. They were sued by Universal. Basically, Universal was saying, people are able to tape our movies off of TV and then watch them whenever they want, and we don't get any money for that. They can fast forward through the commercials. We don't get any money for that. They are stealing from us. Just the simple act of watching Hill Street Blues when it's not in our airing of it constitutes you stealing that program from us. You remember right. that time?
Yeah, and it was fucking horrible. And I think that kind of distills it. Because the reason why I don't pirate movies off the internet is because I just don't like watching movies on my computer. I'm kind of a purist as an art form when it comes to watching movies. I like going out to the theater. I like surround sound and a 40-foot screen. I like that kind of shit. It's the purest way to watch a movie still. Anyone who makes their living upholding bullshit copyright laws, and anyone named Lars who drummed for Metallica, just anyone who makes such a big deal out of copyright laws should go fuck themselves. All copyright laws do is ensure that rich people can get richer. Using Lars Ulrich as an example, that whole bullshit thing with him and Napster, he just could not have come off as more of a whiny cunt. He is rich. If you're going to be a millionaire and then publicly bitch about people not
your
paying
own fans,
for your music.
Not just people, your own fans.
Yes, your own fans are copying your music because they like it. And you're going to bitch about it after being paid millions of dollars by the record label who produced your own album. After, you know, multiple tours at $30 a fucking ticket for Metallica, which is just sad and ridiculous in itself. You're going to bitch about not getting more money. That is greed. And I hate greed. Of all the seven deadly sins, that's the one I hate most.
Well, I mean, it kind of comes down to Eli Roth with Hostel 2. He said the reason Hostel 2 didn't do as good is because people pirated it from a preview screening. Hostel 2 didn't lose money. He just said basically it made $30 million. If people hadn't have seen it early, it would have maybe made $40 million. Wah! Wah!
And also, Eli Roth, the reason why Hostel 2 didn't do so well is because it was a fucking piece of shit.
Well, there's that, but let's go back to 1984 for a moment. Right before the Sony Betamax decision came out, Nightline had Sid Sheinberg on. Do you know who Sid Sheinberg is?
Stereotypically, I have some theories, but go ahead.
He was the head of Universal at the time. He's also the man that forced Terry Gilliam to cut Brazil down to the ridiculous theatrical cut.
Oh, shit, that guy?
Yeah. Now, he said, and I'm quoting, this is when he was fighting against the VCR. And you got to remember, Universal, Paramount, and Warner Brothers were the last three studios to get into the VHS game. Because you had the upstarts like Full Moon, well, then there were Empire, Troma. You had all these little upstarts that jumped on VHS. All the big studios avoided it at first because they thought it would hurt their TV sales and their sales to cable.
Right.
Sid Sheinberg said, and I quote, "You should not have the right to pay $20 to buy Jaws and watch it 1,000 times. You should have to pay every time you want to watch Jaws."
A movie that has already, like, won Academy Awards. Everybody even remotely connected with that movie already became rich.
But basically, that was their line of thinking, Charlie. Their line of thinking was, you should pay us every time you want to watch this movie.
And what he was fighting against, because video in the early 80s, home video was truly democratic. Because this was before Ronald Reagan changed all the antitrust laws. Independently owned video stores.
Which would actually come right shortly after the Sony Betamax decision, ironically enough.
Yes, it was a battle that was eventually lost. Don't mean to bring you down. But before that, it was a democratic environment. Independently owned video stores could buy however many copies of Grease as they wanted to, and also however many copies of just whatever
of the Toxic Avenger. Came.
Yeah, the Toxic Avenger. It's because of the democracy of home video in the early 80s that the Toxic Avenger survived and became the gigantic success that it is now. And now, after Ronald Reagan changed the antitrust laws, made it okay for studios to own video chains, in the case of Blockbuster, flat out fucking alter movies without any kind of warning on the box at all. And now video stores just buy up as many copies as the huge Blockbuster of the week as they can. And it gets harder and harder and harder for independent product to make its way into video stores because it's all controlled by the studios now.
That's the same thing that happened, remember, in the early 90s, what Marvel and DC did to the independent comics market, where they would just flood the market with so much product that none of the indie studios would have shelf space. The way the distribution deal went for the comic book store was, okay, you have to order a minimum of 200 copies of X-Men and 200 copies of Superman. By that point, they have to make their money back, so they need to sell those. There's no room for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's no room for Lone Wolf and Cub. There's no room for Flowers and the Razor Wire. That was how they fought the independents. We flood them out.
And for those of you who have followed along this far through all this ranting bullshit, first of all, thank you. Second of all, after squeezing the fucking life out of anything independent and anything not studio-owned because of these piracy laws, they are still bitching, wanting more money.
It's not even just about money at this point. Like I said, they see everything as a threat to them. The MP3 player, they saw that as what they called space shifting. So you would be able to take, you know, not you wouldn't have to have the CD. You'd be able to take the song off of your CD using your computer and put it onto this special little device that you could take with you. Because they were also trying to sell CD players. They did not develop MP3 players, so they were basically saying, that thing is allowing people to use our music without giving us a cut of it, therefore it's evil and it's stealing from us.
And I guess it's not entirely about money, it's also about control.
Exactly, that's the word, control. It's all about control. They tried to sue iTunes for trying to find a way to allow people to just buy the one song they wanted instead of having to buy a whole CD. Now they all use iTunes. Now they all use MP3 players. Eventually, all of the studios did VHS. They fight against any innovation, and they eventually adapt to it. Even like Napster. Isn't iTunes basically Napster, but you pay for it?
Yeah.
And they fought against that.
Which is why iTunes was allowed to be so successful and Napster wasn't.
Exactly. I mean, yes, it is a fee and they're getting their cut. Fair enough. But why do they fight against everything and call it piracy? Everything to them is piracy.
Because to them it sounds a lot better than their fucking vision of a perfect world where everybody just listens to Kelly Clarkson and Justin Bieber, everybody just watches Michael Bay movies, everybody just watches fucking Jersey Shore, and nobody wants anything better. Because if nobody wants anything better, then it'll make it easier for the public to buy whatever shit is easiest to produce.
Is it stealing for, say, you want to listen to the new Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine CD?
I sure do.
But let's say you don't want to pay for it, or you can't pay for it. You do not have the money, so you download it from a torrent. You were not going to buy it anyway, or not be able to buy it. Did you actually steal it? Because to me, the definition of stealing is removing something from the owner's possession, which now is in your possession. When you are torrenting, you are not stealing. You are copying. It's just like if I had a comic book, my friends and I used to do this back in the late 80s, early 90s when we were in high school. We'd have a black and white comic book. One of us would buy it. Then we'd all photocopy the pages in the school library and it would be cheaper than actually buying a second copy of the comic book.
Yeah, it's not stealing. It's copying something that somebody did buy and just happened to have put on the internet.
Right. And, you know, people like to use that argument, well, you know, the person who's going to download a DVD wouldn't have bought that DVD anyway. And they're right, but their argument is, but they're still getting the content without paying for it, even if they would not have watched it if they had to pay for it. Does that make sense?
It does.
Do you think that's a viable argument?
I do think it's a viable argument. I do think, though, it misses the broader point of just the greed that is infesting every aspect of the arts. I mean, you can't have great art without some soulless cocksucker wanting to squeeze every possible dollar out of it.
Well, one of the arguments that was given to me, and I'm going to quote here, there's so much cost and so much creativity that goes into creating this content, there is great inherent value. And people should pay for their copy. They should pay to watch it. They should pay to see it. And they should respect that. They should respect the copyright owner's right to earn money on their creativity. Now, he worded that in a very specific way to make you side with the artist. Because, yes, I think you do have the right to profit from your own creativity. At the same time, if someone wasn't going to pay you anyway, you didn't lose anything. I don't know. One of my issues is that they like to shade everything the same, such as like if I go and torrent a movie or say I miss an episode of Dexter and I want to go download it because I don't have on demand. They want to put me in the same corner as somebody who's camcordering Pain and Gain from the theater and putting it up online so people don't have to go see it in the theater. There's degrees here, man. There really is.
Yeah, there are a lot of subtle levels to piracy and everything, what's considered piracy and what's not. I can't get over the base issue, which is just the only reason anti-piracy laws exist are people that want to get more money than they already have. I mean, take any artist. You have to be such a cunt to complain about people file sharing. Do you know how much money people make from record labels for recording an album? Like a 5-album contract? Millions of dollars. Tours. Like fucking date, like some middle of the road shit like Dave Matthews. Like Dave Matthews makes millions of dollars every year from tours. You can't steal a concert. I mean, someone could record a concert and put it on YouTube, but no, if people like the music, they're going to go out and see it live. But that's not good enough for these fucking greedy people that just want more. They want every possible dollar that they feel entitled to. And I say, fuck that. It's unconscionable behavior.
But there's another side to that, Charlie. The fact that they just don't want somebody to have something sometimes. Look at how many cartoons, look at how many old TV series are not on DVD. Okay? Briscoe County Jr. is on DVD.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's been for years. I own it.
Fantastic. Never mind then.
There are so many old cartoons that are probably never going to get a DVD release because of their obscurity. But there are people like myself who have them on tape back from, say, 1983 or whatever it is. The studio who owns it is trying to make no money whatsoever off of it. But if I try and file share that, they will come after me for piracy. They're basically saying, we have no plans to make any money off this. You're not trying to make any money off it, but it's ours, damn it! Ours, 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 ours! It's our choice to not make money off of it, not yours!
Exactly. And my favorite example of that is why it took 15 fucking years for Beavis and Butthead to get a decent DVD box set.
And it's still not even there because
of
the music video.
And it's not even complete, exactly, because the best part of Beavis and Butthead, I mean, I loved the show. It's one of my favorite shows in all of the 90s. But my favorite part was the commentary on the music videos. That's what made the show what it was. And when it came time years later to have a DVD release, because the M in MTV no longer stood for music, the videos weren't there because of fucking record labels saying, no, this is, even if Mike Judge is talking over it, no, this is still our music and you can't use it because you're not paying us.
No. It's you're not paying us enough.
Yeah, you're not paying us enough. Exactly.
The way music rights tended to work, especially for something in the 80s, by the 90s, they should have possibly known about this. But the way it was for Miami Vice for so long. This is the biggest example out there. Miami Vice, obviously, huge amounts of music and licensed songs in those episodes, right? The videos that were put out by Columbia House had almost all the music removed. And you go, what happened? The way it usually worked is, say they wanted to use Ted Nugent's Stranglehold for Miami Vice. They could say, okay, it's $40,000 for broadcast rights and rerun rights. Or it's $50,000 for broadcast rights, rerun rights, and home video rights. But at that time, no one was putting TV shows out on video. So they said, well, this saves us $10,000 right now. We take the cheaper option. Now they want to put it out on home video, say 1992, 1993. They go back to Ted Nugent's record company and they say, no, 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 you don't just get to make up that $10,000 difference anymore. Now we want $70,000 for the home video rights. You had a chance to buy the rights back in 1984. You chose not to. The price has gone up. And then they go, go get fucked. We'll just put a replacement song in. And then the fans lose out. That's how it used to work. By the 90s, you had to think, they knew a home video release is likely. They should have licensed it for the relative pittance that it was at that point.
Something that comes to mind, and I really like this. By and large, I'm not a huge fan of Cameron Crowe because fuck Jerry Maguire and fuck Vanilla Sky. Those are overrated, glossy, piece of shit movies. And both of them have Tom Cruise, and I don't think that's a coincidence. The thing I really liked about Cameron Crowe is when Almost Famous came out on DVD. This was 2002, I think. A friend of mine had got it. And there was a song that was just flat out too expensive to use in the movie, and he refused to pay that amount for song licensing just based on principle. So if you listen to the DVD commentary, it comes to a certain point. I don't even remember what scene or what song it was, but it comes to a certain point in the commentary where Cameron Crowe says, okay, this is where I would have played it, so cue it up on your stereo, and then he's silent for like 5 minutes and turns the volume of the movie back up so that people can see it the way that he wanted without having to line the pockets of a bullshit record label.
Well, do you remember that one of the original Fox 7 shows, Werewolf?
Yeah, I think so.
It was that half-hour one with Chuck Connors as the werewolf?
Yeah.
You remember that? Okay. That show has never gotten a DVD release, and it was played on USA Saturday Nightmares for a while in the late 80s. Otherwise, it's pretty much vanished from TV. It shows up on Chiller now and then because they still have the TV rights to what I'm about to bring up. They were going to make a DVD box set of that. They had new artwork, extras, commentaries recorded, everything. Then they went to go relicense some of the music. They said, if we licensed the music for the prices they were asking, this 20-some episodes would be a $500 box set. That's what we'd have to charge to offset the licensing on one song. The record. So this whole thing was canceled. This series will never come out on DVD because one song could not be licensed. And the way they recorded them, because it was a low-budget show, the soundtrack was married to the song. There's no way they can take the song out of the episode without actually removing all of the dialogue from the episode as well. So we don't ever get this Werewolf box set because a record company is going, gimme, 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 gimme. So guess what happens? All those copies that somebody recorded off of Fox have made it to the torrent sites. So
because it's the only way it can happen.
Right, because you're being greedy, you don't get to make any money off of it. People clearly want this stuff, but you don't want to give it to them. That's the problem.
It is horseshit. I think the last thing that I can mention on the subject, one of my favorite examples, because it's almost fucking cartoonish in its supervillainy, Michael Jackson buying all the rights to the Beatles songs. Now, if there was any good in him at all, he would say, well, I already have enough money and just let anybody use any Beatles song in any movie or TV show that they want. Evil, toddler-fondling wax mannequin that he is, he didn't. He just saw that as a way to make even more money that he doesn't need.
Well, speaking of that, there is now a class action lawsuit to try and get Happy Birthday put into the public domain.
And it's not. Patty and Mildred Hill, fuck you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Something like Happy Birthday. Most people out there don't realize, if you see someone singing Happy Birthday in a movie, They had to pay for that.
That's why more people sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow in movies and TV than anyone does in real life.
And what it comes down to is piracy is not what's hurting the industry. Greed is what's hurting the industry. They like to cloak it in piracy because then they don't have to admit that they're being greedy. Or they like to go the opposite way and say, well, the reason we're asking so much for these songs is because piracy has hurt us so much. No, it hasn't.
Yeah, that's horseshit. And I think that's the nut of it. I think this is a huge, maybe the biggest example of greed killing art.
Well, I think greed's always killed art. I mean, just look at how middle of the road most movies are made today because, well, if we make it PG-13, then we make more money. Doesn't matter right. If it hurts the movie, we make more money this way.
I know.
If people want to pirate this episode and they want to pirate your stand-ups, where would they go?
For my stand-up, you would go to YouTube. Just look up Charlie. I'm going to make it really easy for you. Charley. Last name MCMULLEN. Find my stand-up on YouTube. Share it with whoever the fuck you want. I don't care. And also go over to geekjuicemedia.com. Any podcast of mine that you find on there, share it with anyone you want. You can download it, put it on an MP3 player, put it on a fucking Telegraph if you want to. I don't care.
Even your really awful short films.
Especially my awful short films. Download those, show them to whoever you want to. Hate them, love them, I don't care. I would rather someone see them and me not make any money than nobody see them and me still be broke anyway.
That's one of the reasons I make all these shows open source.
Right.
As long as you credit me, you credit Jackalope, you credit 1201 Beyond, and you know you're not making money off of it, I say do whatever you want with them. Now, if you're going out and selling them, I want a little bit of a cut. I think that's fair. But if you're just sharing them, go ahead.
And in fact, as long as you're at geekjuicemedia.com, look up The Men from Cyclopolis, my comic strip. Print them, make t-shirts. Thank you very much, man. And I would like for people to see them. So print them, make t-shirts, do whatever you want. Knock yourself out.
Well, you can find me at the same geekjuicemedia.com as well as 1201beyond.com. And you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Any final thoughts, Fister?
Fuck greed, fuck religious zealotry, fuck homophobia.
Fuck decapitation suicides.
Fuck suicidal decapitation. And I think that covers it.
Ready, roll tape, playback, and action.
Freedom from the flesh. What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.